Welcome to this lecture on tools and techniques in participatory design. I am Monica.
And I am Leikni.
We are both professors at Oslo and Akershus University College. From a previous lecture on system development, we learned that a method should inform us about application area, perspectives, guidelines, and within that, techniques, tools, and principle of organization. Today we are going to elaborate on techniques and tools. So then first, Leikni, what is a tool actually?
Well, this is a tool. Mm-hmm. And you have a tool there, a pencil, that is a tool. A tool is something that you are using for something. Our language is a tool. We can use it for communication. And we can use another language for description, yet another language for programming.
Okay, but then techniques, what is that?
Well, holding the hammer like this is not a good technique. This is much better. And a carpenter probably has a better technique than me. You need a technique that is how to use the tools. You need a technique to draw, to filing in forms, and you need a technique to program. Programming is a technique.
So, okay, let us then look into some tools and techniques from traditional system development. What are typical for these, Leikni?
Well, these techniques that you see examples of here, they are made for professional developers. Mm. They use specialized language and specialized symbols, and the users, the designers that use the technique need, they are specialists. Mm. So let us go and look into them. This is an example. It's a structure diagram. Mm. It's used for making overview over a big system and dividing it into parts. This is an overview, but you can also take the each of the boxes and make more detailed structure diagrams out of them. Mm. But you can see it's not so easy to understand the details here if you're not a specialist.
And I have another example. Class diagram is an even more expert-oriented diagram. Here, this tells something about the data, and when you use this technique, then you actually start with the data and ask how they are structured. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice way of working if you want to focus on how to design a database or if you want to do object-oriented programming.
And since I know it, I can see here that a course can have many individual an individual plan can include many courses, and a course can be included in many individual plans. And a student can have only one individual plan, and one individual plan is related only to one student. Mm. That I can read from this.
Yes, that's right. And then we have another type of diagram, what's called use case. Mm. This is a way of working where you focus more on the functions, the activities, and the users of an information system. And it's, as you can see in the way it's described, more focused on the user's role in the system. You have then the functions here in the middle, and the users, how they relate to the functions.
So maybe this is a better way to include the users than in the description process.
Yes, that is right. Use cases are quite modern way of describing systems, and it is developed to engage users more. But then, how do we go about then to work with tools and techniques in participatory design, where we want to focus on user participation, mutual learning, and co-realization?
Well, then we, of course, have to emphasize communication between the participants in the project, and also the mutual understanding between the designers and users. And of course, we need to avoid model monopoly.
Model monopoly? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yes. This concept was originally formulated by the Norwegian sociologist Steinbrotten back in 73 or something. But it's still working. and he said that if one person or a group had more concepts and models to describe a situation or a field of interest than others, they are model strong. And on the other hand, the model weak groups tend to accept and adopt the concepts and models of the model strong groups. Mm-hmm. And this is what is called model monopoly or model power. Mm-hmm. And model monopoly converts real dialogues, Brotten says, into what he calls leather dialogues, in that only one party's knowledge is defined as irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So we need to avoid this. Mm. And when you know about the theory, Brotten says, that is one way of avoiding it. That's one way of fighting model monopoly, just to be aware of it.
Okay, but then I see that why they probably suggest ethnography as a method for doing participatory design. In ethnography, you aim to get insights to everyday realities, and you use what we call an ethnomethodology to describe a phenomena from the inside as it is experienced from the users or they who live in this world we try to describe. And it's very interesting because in ethnography, you do not have predefined categories at all. Categories are used or defined by the users when they describe their own situation. And they also make organized frameworks that will describe the situation they experience.
Can you give an example of this?
Yes, that's quite interesting because we have an old Norwegian method called veggraf in Norwegian or wall graph, and this method is about how to engage users into describing their own work. Using well-known forms like forms they work with and well-known screenshots, and drawing it on a huge paper put up on the wall, and then tell about how they experience the system and why they think that some systems work well and some do not work well. And the very most important thing is that it's a group work between experts and users. But can you inform us a little bit more about tools and techniques that is relevant for participatory design?
Yes, here you can see, I think, the whole list that we can find in the textbook. It's future workshop, design games, prompted reflections, cardboard mock-ups or physical prototyping, case-based prototypes, games, storytelling, change of perspectives and metaphors. Mm. And the main ideas of all these techniques is to nurture creativity and user participation, to make the users tell about their own situation, to make the users and the designer cooperate in finding a solution and defining visions. Let's take a closer look into some of these techniques.
Yes, first then, what is a future workshop actually?
Well, it's in the name. You start with the past, the present, and the future. Mm. Or you start with the past, you go through the present, and you end up with the future. Mm. And you're looking for trends in the past and the present, different trends, and then try to envision the future from these trends and to see what will the consequences be with different future solutions and so on. So it's a creative technique. Mm.
Another one is called design games. What is that?
Well, it's the same idea, actually. Mm. You take materials at hand and you work with them for exploring possibilities for the futures, for the future, and maybe also different futures.
Okay. Mock-up is another term, and describing a way of working too. What is that?
That is making physical prototypes of artifacts. Mm-hmm. As you see here, starting to the left on your side with a paper drawing, and then a bit more and more physical, and ending up with this artifact here.
But you can also make a mock-up of a web page, can't you?
Yeah.
By, for instance, drawing it up in what often called wireframes?
Yes, and that is often do when you design a user interface, starting with drawing. But then metaphors, Monica. You have been working with metaphors.
Yes, I have. And metaphors is interesting because then you describe one phenomenon by using terms from another field. And it's often used when you try to describe something abstract. An example is that when you try to understand electricity, then you use water and flowing water as an example for how electricity is working.
Mm-hmm. But can you give an example from the field of information technology?
Yes, I can. First of all, the interesting word of web. I think most of us today think that web is something related to World Wide Web. Mm-hmm. But actually, it is the spiders threads of silk that is the original word. And then, of course, library and books are metaphors that we find in the internet, talking about web pages. We all also use words like navigation, referring to the internet to be wide and open as the ocean, and huge and few points for orientation. And you use metaphors from travel when you're talking about web hotel, web hosts, and you use transport metaphors, talking about information highways and that all pages have an address.
And all these metaphors together, they form the picture or the imagination or the understanding of what is the internet, the complex phenomenon of the internet.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. And finally, we have something called rich pictures.
Yes, rich pictures. They are drawing without specific use of... There are no rules for how to draw. Mm. And they are used for describing practical situations in system development with no fixed language and symbols. Mm. And we will learn more about that in another lecture on soft dialectics.
Mm. Okay. Then... We would just have to say that this concludes the lecture on tools and techniques in participatory design.